Our gospel lesson for today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. The Pharisees and Sadducees are gathering with Jesus. They are trying to entrap him. They are trying to incriminate him so that he might be condemned. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The word of the Lord. Well, today we continue with our Lenten service theme of entering the story, entering the passion of Christ, but in a different way than any of us would have anticipated. Last Sunday, we had signs of spring here in Wisconsin. It was warm and sunny, and we enjoyed that extra hour of daylight by being outside. Last Sunday, we gathered together here in worship in the sanctuary at Crossroads. Last Sunday, we took baptism vows to help the Kriegel family raise Veronica, Santiago, and Juan in faith. And we took vows as we welcomed 6 new members to our ministry of membership here at Crossroads. Last week, we were together. As our week unfolded, COVID-19 went from being an epidemic that we read about in the newspaper and prayed about over the last months in worship for the people in other parts of the world. It went from being an epidemic in the newspaper to a pandemic that has jumped off the pages and into our lives. We learned just how connected we are in a global society, more than we realize. And so we have washed our hands, we have gone for toilet paper runs to the pig, we've shifted gears pretty quickly from spring break anticipation to preparing for homeschool and online learning. We have scattered, but we are not divided. We are apart, but we are still the body of Christ. We are suspending worship in person this week and next week because we care for the vulnerable, because we are so connected. Crossroads is taking these measures now because we've learned from history, from the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, that if we isolate now at the beginning, we can slow the spread of the virus. And so we are meeting in smaller groups because, like the early church, we know that community and connection to God can still be felt when 2 or 3 are gathered. And while we would love to experience worship together here in a full sanctuary, where 200 or 300 or more are gathered, that doesn't steward the health of the vulnerable. And so this week, we are physically apart. Perhaps you're watching this in your living room or on your cell phone in a car. I'm preaching on a Saturday morning to an empty sanctuary. Carp is filming, Todd is directing, and we will upload this to YouTube. And yet, although we are apart, we are still on this Lenten journey together. On Ash Wednesday, I preached that while we are on this journey, we know what the destination is. We know it is Easter. We know the hope of the resurrection. But we don't know what the 40 days of Lent will entail. Boy, was that an understatement. We know this uncertainty of the journey more acutely this week. There's a parallel to our experience and that of Jesus and his disciples during this Holy Week. They too didn't know how each day would unfold. Jesus and his disciples are living day to day, And yet they are seeking to live from a place of faith and not fear. In our story for today, Jesus is back at the temple during Holy Week. The Pharisees and Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus. They want to expose him. They want to catch him by teaching some falsehood, something that they can pin on him to have him arrested and condemned. They want to expose him, and they do, for being the radical Son of God, fully human, fully divine gift that Jesus is. The Pharisees and Sadducees want to eradicate the power and authority of Jesus, and so they ask him some tricky questions. What's the role of the civil authorities? What's the role of God? Jesus' answer, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Respect civil authority, but ultimately your focus is on God. And the debate continues with a second question. So then, what is the greatest law? Jesus' answer, he goes back to Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now that's familiar to us. We know those commandments well. And those commandments would have been very familiar to the Pharisees and Sadducees because it was their calling to know the law. Except they knew the letter of the law. They lost sight that love of God and love for neighbor meant you lived your life in a radical way. They lost sight of living out that love because of fear. You see, they were oppressed by the Romans, and they went along to get along. They feared the Roman Empire so much that they compromised their faith. And that's the temptation when we are afraid, to compromise or to develop spiritual amnesia, to forget. When we are afraid, we forget and we compromise. And when we are most afraid, we forget the least, the lost, the most vulnerable. We start to think of only ourselves. And so in this moment, when the Pharisees and Sadducees are afraid and they are trying to trick Jesus, they are trying to eradicate his power, Jesus provides an antidote, a vaccine, if you will, to this fear, calling us back to love. Love for God, which directs us, which informs us, which shapes us to love our neighbor. Jesus is pulling the Pharisees and Sadducees out of their fear and inviting them to see the least, the lost, the vulnerable with intentionality. We could say that we are living in a similar context. There is a lot of free-floating fear and anxiety in our world right now. So what does faith look like today while you are watching this series from your sofa or on your phone? What does love for God and love for neighbor look like during a pandemic? Well, it looks like worshiping apart. I realize I sound antithetical here. Social distancing feels antithetical to being church. We talk so much about being the body of Christ, which means we're to be connected. Our session wrestled with that very question. How do we love God and neighbor? How do we be church when we need to socially distance? How do we do this well and faithfully right now? What the session concluded is what guides us first is love for God and love for neighbor as we love ourselves. And love for God and love for neighbor means we must consider first and foremost the needs of the weakest, the least, the most vulnerable in our midst. Shane Berg, a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, wrote a powerful blog post this past week titled Social Distancing and Love for Neighbor. He wrote this article to help folks understand why Princeton Theological Seminary decided to shift classes online, decided to close, to radically practice social distancing. And Shane writes, Social distancing strikes us as deeply wrong, and it feels antithetical to Christian community. But it's our care and concern for others that motivates our adoption of these measures. It is an act of Christian love to participate fully in the practice of social distancing in the context of a global pandemic. While it feels counterintuitive, social distancing is the best way for us to respond to Christ's call to protect the least of these in our human family. And so the goal of reduced human contact is to flatten the curve of the virus spread, meaning it will spread more slowly and ultimately, hopefully, infect fewer people. A flatter growth curve for this virus transfers to fewer lives lost, less stress on our medical system, less stress on those of our members of our community who work in those medical systems. We choose to limit for a season our participation in certain forms of human community, which do bring us life and joy, in order to preserve human life. This is a discipline, but this self-limitation increases the life and safety for others. Friends, in Christ, isn't that the Lenten journey? The season of Lent is all about abstaining, about discipline. It's about self-limitation in order to prepare for the fullness of life, for the gift of Easter. Now, this is not a Lenten discipline any one of us would have chosen on Ash Wednesday. I didn't pick social distancing as my Lenten discipline. Yet this is the discipline as Christians that we are called to follow right now in the third week of Lent and likely for the rest of Lent. Keeping the focus on social distancing but on love for God and neighbor is a challenge. On Thursday morning, I attended an ecumenical council of faith leaders and school district leaders in Cedarburg. Cedarburg Public Schools has a wonderful superintendent, and he calls together this ecumenical council once a semester so we might reflect on issues our community is facing. The stated topic was anxiety, but the real topic was COVID-19. We reflected together over breakfast on the pandemic and what does it mean to steward the health of all, not just as church, but as school, and church and school leading together, because we are sharing leadership in our community. We reflected on the ripple effect of closures. When schools are closed, and if a child depends on school to provide them food or a safe place to be, how can we step in? How can we provide care? And as folks struggle with isolation and anxiety, how can the church minister? Our ecumenical group brainstormed a few options, and each of us offered our congregations to provide support. That was Thursday. It was theoretical on Thursday. And now our schools are closed for the next month. There will be stress and strain on our food pantries. Working parents will struggle to figure out childcare, and folks who are already isolated will feel more so. So how will our lofty conversation on Thursday get put into action? How will we love our neighbor as we love ourselves when we are apart? Our session has been discussing this and praying about it, and we know that as a church, Crossroads stands ready to support the community. Our doors are still open. We will still be providing a place for folks to stay here for Family Promise. Perhaps they will need that space even more. And we are checking in with mission partners and community leaders. We are praying. We are also putting our love into action. I'm seeing it happen already. Just over the last couple of days, I've witnessed again the reality that Crossroads Presbyterian Church, or any church, is not a building, but we are called to be God's hands and feet in this world. Our church staff are creating online forums for us to stay connected, for you to do faith formation at home. Bible study groups are meeting, but members are also FaceTiming in. I've seen folks offer to watch kids, especially if childcare is closed. We've got to figure out a way to put those college students and high school students in partnership with families who might need that support. People are offering to go on grocery store runs for those who can't. We're donating extra resources to food banks because we know they will be stressed. We are praying. We are checking in. We are sharing toilet paper and not hoarding toilet paper. And we do this all in faith, confident that while we are on this wilderness Lenten journey, God is with us, and God is faithful. As the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. May we be Christ's hands and feet today. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.